Scott. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. It's Bill Powers. Can I get the status of ABQ 032, please?
Albuquerque?
Yep.
Okay. Which site number?
I'm sorry?
Which site?
032, please. 32.
Looks good. Everything's up. They're taking calls.
It is. Okay. That's what I need to know. I appreciate it.
Hold on. Yes, they're taking calls.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Free America.
Hi, this is Dual Parallel. Welcome to Radio Freak America, number 59. I'm joined by Stank.
I am Stank Dog, your co-host. Welcome to the show.
Very nice. And Bland.
And I am the Bland Inquisitor.
Welcome, Radio Freak America number 59. I'm going to start this right now. Started out with an email from Hack and Slash, who sent us, well, let me read the email. Hey, Duel, I wanted to make something for RFA since you and the crew have given me so many hours of net radio bliss. I really enjoyed the show with its all shit on the table attitude. I think it really is a great thing to do for the many people out there tuning in every Wednesday. So I made a pick, albeit not very professional, hell, I'm no Logan Fiverr meme. I just wanted to make something for the show. It is my first gimped up piece of crap, so go easy on me. Best regards, Hack and Slash. Thank you, Hack and Slash. Thank you for the email, and thank you. Now check his piece of art out. And again, also check out Meme's new art, and all of them. I've said this many times, take the time and look at the art. Personally, Motel Hell by Meme gave me goosebumps, and I told her that, and it literally did. You sit down, you look at it, you read the words, you look at the picture, and consider what has gone on in the world, and you will get goosebumps. And look at Hack and Slash's piece of art. It's different, and you'll see why if you check it out. You'll see why it's different, and I like the feel of it. So you guys have to check out Meme's new art. Oh, you guys being Stank and Bland.
Hey.
What's up, Bland?
Not much.
Thanks for joining us, especially on such short notice. And Stank, how are you?
I'm all right. Back in the hizzy.
Hey, in the hizzy. You are the shizzle. Somebody sent me an email calling me the shizzle. I was honored. I was definitely honored. Well, that's... I wanted to open up with that great email and that piece of art. It should be up probably by the weekend. We've got other things to go up. We'll talk about that later. Last week, I promised... a hardware review, a video game system review. to be precise. I'm not going to keep my well, I am going to keep my promise, but in a different way. If you want to hear that review, and it's pretty good, you have to listen to C4 Show Gamer. And you can get that at hwhq.com. I wrote up the review, right, typed it up, and sent it to him, saying, you know, crossing my fingers, really, to hope, you know, that I could be on that show, because, you know, I really like that show. I'm not a huge gamer, but I still enjoy it. It's quite entertaining. They're not, you know, they're not sensitive, to be sure, right? I mean, one show, boy, they, woo, probably might be offensive to women, I would think, but, man, who cares? It was hilarious. It's a good show. So even if you're not a hardcore gamer, which they are, they know their stuff, you will enjoy that show. So check out Gamer again at hwhq.com, C4 and crew, and listen for my review. He said he's going to read it, so crossing my fingers, let's hope. And now, Stank, you had something. Actually, it was on your forums, and if I'm correct, it's about one of my favorite mythos, and that is The Matrix.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if anybody has seen what do they call them? Animatrix. I watched that here recently. I finally got around to watching those, and they're just incredible.
Oh yeah,
check that out. Go check those out. But while I was in the, I actually was spawned and prompted to do this because, like you said, it was Epiphany and CXI, I believe, posted some information on the forums about Hack the Matrix is what they're calling it, which is like this fun little interactive thing they're doing where they've got like lots of little hidden things on the site and on the and their flash animations and stuff like that. There's some little codes you can put in. It's kind of like when you buy the DVDs and you get those little hidden Easter eggs, not the obvious stuff, but little hidden ones of, you know, move to this sign and push up, down, down, left, like a PlayStation code of some kind. It's a little bit more complex than that, and it's a little bit more, well, I mean, it really is. It's hacking. It's hacking for the sake of fun, which is exactly what I love to do. So, yeah, if you go to the forums at stankdog.com and check it out, there's some of the codes are there that you can look up. They're, if you know, don't want to, they're blacked out, so you have to highlight it to get them, so it's not going to ruin it for you, but it'll give you the links and all that kind of stuff. And they did some very cool things, and the way they did it, first of all, it's just a good idea because it generates interest in the movie, which is upcoming, obviously. And
May 15th.
When you immerse people into the scenario and the mythos, as you said, and get people involved there, they more so want to go see the movie, and they feel, wow, you know, that especially the subject matter of, you know, what is the real world, what is the Matrix. When they immerse you into things like this, and you're breaking through the Matrix and breaking through to the real world, or are you breaking out of the real world, or are you, you know, when they put these kind of things, it actually adds to the whole ambiance of the movie, and when you go, it just adds that much more to it. So I think it's just a great idea, and it's a fun thing that they're doing, and it is hacking, in my opinion.
Hacking is fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't let anybody tell you any different. Okay? If you're not having fun, guess what? Well, yeah, maybe occasionally it could seem like work. I mean, just because you're trying so hard, you want to find it, right? You want to get that code to run. But hacking is fun. Don't forget that.
Yep. And if you go to the site, like, I'll give you a couple quick little examples without giving too much away, but basically there's a flash. If you just go to whatisthematrix.com and you just move around that flash animation, you'll find a few little hidden things or some surprises. Move your mouse to different corners and different places on the screen, and you'll see stuff suddenly pop up, and you're like, what is that? You click on it. And you can play around a little bit, and you'll find basically a place where you can put in combinations. And I won't go too much more than that. But there's the combinations are what you want to find and what you want to figure out. It's not like it's given to you. It's not like they're, you know, a menu system, like I said, on a DVD where you just move up to hidden scenes and you watch it. It's not quite that simple. You have to find and figure out some of these codes, and some of them are hidden in the pictures. Some of them are in the Animatrix trailers, if you look, and file names and things like that, if you look and pay attention, you'll see a code, like, embedded into the background or some of the words and phrases that they use or turn out to be codes. And when you put them in there, you'll get some extra content. You'll find some movie posters, deleted scenes. And today, I got the newest trailer, which is just phenomenal. It's extremely high quality. It's a new trailer with lots of more detailed footage, and it's amazing. I can't wait another month and a half or a month and a half. Yeah, what is it, the 15th, I think it comes out,
May 15th.
Or no? I can't wait that much longer to see it now. They just got me so ready and riled up to see it by doing these things. And, like, there's a really... I'll give away one of them, which is already floating out of the internet. One of the codes they hid is inside one of the Shockwave animations. If you right-click on a Shockwave... If you right-click on the menu that comes up, you can zoom in. And if you zoom in 3 or 4 times, you know when you zoom in on a picture, it becomes pixelated and breaks up and you can't even really make it out. Well, if you zoom in, I think it's 3 or 4 times, those pixels, believe it or not, zoom in and you will see the letters and a code.
Cool.
You go back out to the main picture and enter in that code and it'll take you to a secret area where you can get some of this stuff. And it's just... You know, like I said, that's where you can get the newest trailer. You can find out, you can get different wallpapers and posters and previews and stuff like that. And, man, it's just really, really fun. And it's you know, you mentioned gaming, and it kind of popped into my head that that's, you know, it's fun and it's hacking, and, you know, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. And The Matrix is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you're nuts. And, by the way, who says we're not in The Matrix now? You know, maybe not like The Matrix in the movies. But, well, anyways... I'll just leave it at that, because there may be something special on RFA, oh, I don't know, sometime around mid-May.
Mm.
Okay, well, you have some news. We actually have regular, plain old, not that it's, you know, boring or anything, Stank, but we have, like,
well,
news.
Well, we have freak news, and we can have hack news.
Right, well, come on, freak news is special. I mean, that's it, that's freak news, for crying out. You know, hacking is fun, but freaking, you know, is life, my friends.
It's like breathing.
It is. It's like sex and food. Sex, food, and freaking. The three most important things
in
life.
In that order.
That's right, and, well, we've got some actual informative news that people are probably interested in, not just freak news. So go ahead, Stank, please.
Well, you know, I get a lot of trade magazines, and that's where a lot of the stuff I come up with on the show and talk about are from these magazines, and me adding my little 2 cents in, and what did he say, putting the shit on the table or something, lay the shit all out on the table attitude. So actually, I got some stuff that's not quite, I'll just tell you, like, and I'm looking in New Architect magazine. This is actually, I guess, 2 months ago, because I'm just catching up on it. But it had an article in here basically saying, well, the first line says, forget malicious hackers. So, of course, I'm intrigued and start reading that.
I'm intrigued as well.
Yeah, but basically what they're saying is that, you know, all this emphasis, and we said many episodes ago how interesting it is that there's a whole security environment and there's a whole security area of business and expertise and just millions and millions of dollars put in security. Well, this article says that bugs, computer bugs, errors are more dangerous than hackers.
No.
Yeah, and this is New Architect magazine. It's by, the author's name is Annette Cardwell. And she says, according to the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, the NIST, that it costs, and I don't know if you want to wager a guess or how much would you say?
$50 trillion bazillion.
They put a dollar amount. Now, who knows? You know how they arbitrarily come up with this stuff, just
right.
Like not with hacker damage of, you know, how much. But according to the NIST, they estimate that it costs $59.5 billion annually in software bugs and problems and having to fix them and distribute the problems and vulnerabilities and everything that goes along with that.
Does it say how much stupid users cost?
I don't think that they can put a price on that. I think that's one of those things that you just can't put a price on. It's like the MasterCard commercial. It's just priceless.
That's right. No offense to stupid users.
So, yeah, just that number kind of blew my mind. I thought that was kind of surprising. And the fact that they said that, well, maybe hackers aren't the biggest, baddest problem that we have. Maybe if people would just have their shit run right.
Yeah, maybe hackers are figuring things out or banging on code to find vulnerabilities and helping people out. And maybe they would tell you about those vulnerabilities if you didn't fucking put them in jail.
Every time that they do tell you something. Amen.
Crap. All right. Sorry. Continue.
I know what. I wanted to mention... I posted something on the forums recently also about the Interzone conference.
Yes, this really interested me.
Yes, yeah, this is a hacking conference I've never been to and I don't really know much about. I was looking ahead at the agenda on what they're going to talk about, and I was looking forward, since I just can't make these most of the time, I was looking forward to hopefully downloading the presentations or the MP3s after the fact. So I went out there and was looking, because I think it was this past weekend, or it was supposed to be this past weekend.
Yes.
And I looked, and the headline on the page, or one of the news stories on the page, was the main presentation that I wanted to see and read about is about a product called Blackboard, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's a software package custom and designed for universities. It can do a lot of different things. The part I was interested in is they have online classes.
Right.
Where it's like a portal where you go on and you can post your homework, you can take your tests, you communicate with your teacher, and it basically automates and gives you a central area to take distance learning classes.
They call it
something that just interests me.
Yeah, they call it e-education.
Exactly. So these two people, Acidus and Virgil, are going to give a presentation on not just that part of Blackboard, but in general. Apparently Blackboard is like a campus-wide that it can link in your everything from your meal plan and your housing and right down to little things like the vending machine and you swipe your ID to go in and take your final exam and things like that. They're centralizing it all into one basic credit card for, like, not a credit card, but a card, an ID card. And they were going to give a presentation on this. Well, apparently Blackboard didn't approve. So,
to say the least.
Yeah, this goes back to what we were just saying a minute ago. They're going to give a presentation about why this is a bad idea, what's wrong with the system, and how bad wrong it is. From what I have seen the presentation, and the stuff that they're pointing out is just, stupid, for lack of a better word. I mean, it was just very simple things that they could and should fix and should address, but instead of fixing them, they release them. I guess you wouldn't really say they're buggy, but they're just poorly designed. And they contacted their lawyers. Lawyers sent a cease and desist letter to those two people, Acidus and Virgil, the two hackers that were going to give this, the two security professionals, I prefer the term would be for this case, to tell them that they were not allowed to give their presentation. And when the conference came, from what I understand, they didn't. They were prevented, and of course, do you know what law it was that they called upon to enforce this?
Ooh, the ENDB.
Not quite.
Oh.
You almost got it, and I think, of course, you know what it is. We're just teasing the audience. It is the good old Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, in full effect.
In full effect, in the hizzy.
No, it's not in the hizzy. It's out the shizzy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Thing is, I'm not going to go into a huge rant, but I ranted on this very, very strongly a few episodes back about how they're stifling learning and education and furthering our society, hiding behind this thing and stopping people from doing this. There was a Nick 84 had actually showed me some information on Slashdot. It became a pretty heated argument out there, some discussion on it. But the quote that really caught my eye that was just insulting to me, it says, quote, "So if you're a student at a school that uses Blackboard, do you feel more secure now that the DMCA has tried to stop you from learning about its security flaws?"
Good quote.
Because this card, if you, like I said, this goes right down to housing, to the Coke machines, to silly things like that. This is not an all your Coke machines are belong to us thing. This is much more serious than that. This is, they can swipe these cards in certain places or potentially to get into rooms, to get into buildings that are secured. You know how you have to swipe a card to get into your work sometimes, or into a public building or a non-public building, a private building, I should say. You have to swipe a card to get in. Well, they're saying that this thing is so insecure that there are ways that you could lose your physical security and safety. And they contacted Blackboard and were, quote, blown off. No interest, didn't want to help, didn't want to fix it, didn't want to hear about it. Instead, they hide behind the DMCA, and they stop the information from coming out.
How dare them? How dare they use their lawyers and this horrible law, the DMCA, to stifle such creativity that could have such an impact on so many people, a positive impact, mind you. And let me repeat that. Hackers having a positive impact on so many people. Totally, utterly destroyed by the DMCA and their goddamn whore lawyers.
And I can't help but worry, honestly, what is it going to take before they make these corrections? They didn't want to listen to hackers, security professionals, whatever you want to label it, people telling them that you have a problem with it, maybe you want to fix it. No, talk to our lawyers, we don't want to hear about it. Well, guess what? What are you going to do when someone else's lawyers come in and say, my daughter was assaulted in her classroom, somebody broke in and stole all the money out of my daughter's account, my son's account, whatever, and then they turn around and sue Blackboard? That's what's going to happen in this, and hopefully it's as simple as somebody's money or something like that. Hopefully this doesn't come out to be something serious. If somebody is assaulted or somebody gets access physically into the room, a jealous boyfriend, jealous girlfriend, just a mugger or anything like that comes in and causes someone to die. I mean, it could be that serious. I hope it's not, but it could be that serious. Guess what? I bet you then Blackboard will get off their dead asses and make some fixes.
You think?
No, but unfortunately, this is one of my biggest things in society and these companies is, instead of being proactive, they're always reactive.
Yes.
Until that event happens, they're not going to change it. They don't want to hear about changing it. They don't want people to spread the word that there's problems like that because they have to spend money to fix it. So they're going to wait until a tragedy possibly happens before they'll even address that there is a problem. And that's despicable, and that's the way big business works and small business works in this country anymore.
Yeah, well, let's end this by commending Acidus and Virgil on their creativity.
And
their technical prowess.
I wish them the best of luck with the lawyers and whatever they're going to have to go through with this, unfortunately.
Yeah, if they release that presentation, they're brave. Seriously, they're brave.
Well, you know, I won't give this away because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I'm just going to point out that the way the Internet works, once something has been released and is out there, you can't take it back. It never comes back.
No.
So if that has ever been released, it's gone. It's out there, and if people want it and want to find out about it, they'll find it.
Yep.
I found it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that to give you a country saying, which I know everybody loves it when I bring this up. The saying is, you can't put the shit back in the horse.
Oh, that's lovely, Stank. That is lovely.
I had to lighten it up because I don't want to go into a huge rant on that because they're repetitive rants now, and it gets old when it's just the same crap and the same incompetence and the same lack of care.
Right. It's rehashed. We got new players in the same play. Now the thing is, I think we need to continue doing this. If we have to say it again, gosh darn it, dadgummit, you know, we're going to. And I want everybody that shares in this show, in the websites, in all the magazines, with all their articles, to write more articles about that, to keep pushing technology, and to keep pushing this crap that is the DMCA.
And spread the word as however you can. Go to other forums, go to other sites and say, hey, did you guys hear about this bullshit? Hey, did you hear about that bullshit?
That's right.
You know? And tell them to listen to RFA if they want to hear more.
Hell yeah. And make up your own code and start pushing that. Make your own radio show. And you can start ranting about that stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. You got any more news?
I'll touch one more quick one.
Okay.
There was also another article here, and this one's not a rant at all. This is just an interesting statistic.
Cool.
This one, again, is pointing out that it's not so much the hackers that are the danger, but it's people on the inside that are causing a lot of problems. And then people in the hacking community have known this forever. You don't need to worry about me. You need to worry about disgruntled firehead Bob, the matchstick, who wants to burn the building down because you didn't give him a raise last month and stuff like that. Those are the people you need to worry about.
That's right. It's called the insider threat.
Yeah, and there's a term that they're throwing around with this now. It's called, and they put the word hacking in this, so I don't know how I feel about that exactly, but it's called 180-degree hacking, and hacking or hacking from the inside. And it's basically when somebody is a disgruntled employee, or it's possible that you have a legitimate hacker inside who's out to get you or whatever, a black hat hacker or thief is what I prefer to call them, and how they are the ones that are the biggest threat. According to Matthew Miller of Red Siren, and this is the only reason I bring this up because the statistic was interesting, he says 60 to 80% of attacks come from the inside. And I thought that was just kind of interesting. 60 to 80% of this is coming from the inside, but instead of increasing money to do and watch your people and make sure that you know what you're getting and that people aren't doing something from the inside, they're going to spend their money buying all this intrusion detection software and keeping this whole industry going and this whole mythos, since that's the word of the day, about hackers going and how hackers are the problem and we're doing all the damage and we're the bad guys and yada, yada, yada. No, you need to look within. You need to see what's going on inside.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Frankly, it doesn't surprise me. I think probably you can think of when Stank is saying hacks coming from the inside, not always, you know, literally, you know, the hack is coming from the inside to the inside. Probably a lot of times it is. A lot of times as well, I think it is employees that are fired or employees that are off of work taking their insider knowledge, right, the information they have gained from being on the inside of this, you know, network, system, whatever, and using it on the outside, getting in, maybe even passing it on to others. Passing it on to other malicious people and them using it, maybe selling that information. You know, the insider threat is big, and it needs to be looked at seriously. And you're right. Hackers are probably not your worst threat. Your worst threat, you know, could be the, you know, anywhere from the curious employee to the person that is in cahoots. What's up with all these frickin' daggummit cahoots? Stuff the shit back in the horse? What's going on?
I'm going to countryfy you yet.
I guess so. So the insider threat is big. Is very big. And you know what? Everybody that's listening to this knows. Come on. You all know it already.
And actually, you know, we used an example, too, which some of it is not necessarily intentional all the time. Sometimes it's somebody on the inside who's incompetent and doesn't know what the hell they're doing and opens a security hole. They download a Trojan or something through the email and open up a hole or something like that.
Right.
They mentioned quickly, and we've talked about this on another show. Actually, I think, Duel, you might have talked about this on an earlier show about Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
There's an application that you can put on a Sega Dreamcast that basically will circumvent a firewall. And they were, you know, they use this example to challenge the thought of what is a computer. You know, if you put a Sega Dreamcast in there that you want to play in the break room or, you know, something silly like that, that could be a source of insecurity, basically. And, you know, they talked about how if somebody sets up a Dreamcast to play a game or if somebody, like I said, downloads a Trojan on accident or fires up a server without telling anybody that they don't know anything, or peer-to-peer, and now all of a sudden they put on a spyware program, and, you know, just endless stuff that it may not even be intentional. It's just the fact that it opens something, opens up a tunnel through the firewall sometimes, and that's, you know, as big a concern as what we just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. A Palm device. Oh, you know, a pocket PC. Again, the Dreamcast. You can run Linux on the Dreamcast, and it's got an Ethernet adapter. Printers, right? I've read about printers being able to scan networks. So
printer attacking the printer network boxes and network connections is one of the biggest, most popular things going on. Which, I don't know if popular is a good word, but the most prevalent attacks going on right
it's
now. Because
hit in the circles.
When you put it on there, people don't monitor and watch. You can watch if you set up your HTTP server and it has a vulnerability. You can watch that. You might notice your logs. You might notice that your CPU spikes all the time. You might notice that there's a lot of bandwidth. You'll get caught. You can notice that. Printers, the Lantronics boxes and some of the HP boxes that'll create your network printer, those things have an IP address. Those things have software, BIOS on them, and people don't watch them, and they won't notice or see that thing's going apeshit, and there's packets flying through it, and there's DOSs going on. That's one of the most prevalent attacks going on right now because it's much harder to see.
Right, and you know you can't put the shit back in the ape. Now, Bland, I feel terrible, Bland. We've been yakking it up, but we actually have Bland on for something special, something spectacular. Now, we talked with Bland last time, and he talked about... What did you talk about last time, Bland?
Making Wi-Fi work.
That's right, getting that Wi-Fi working in Red Hat 8, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay, and make sure you speak up. This time, you went out, you dropped some jack on the Red Hat 9, and how do you like it?
Well, I really, really like it. I downloaded the new Nopix in between getting 8 and 9, and Nopix, actually, I liked it, and I was going to do a hard drive install and just use Nopix, but then I really, really wanted to do the Red Hat thing, so I went, and a couple days after it came out, I went and bought Red Hat 9 and installed it and, you know, got the Ethernet working, or the Wi-Fi working, and I went with KDE this time instead of GNOME. I used GNOME with Red Hat 8, and I just wanted to see what KDE, you know, because I liked it with Nopix. and it made, you know, kind of made a lot of sense to me.
And that's KDE 3.1 this time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like it. There are some apps that I had in Red Hat 8, you know, that are GNOME that won't work in KDE, and so I'm probably going to have to reinstall Red Hat tonight, and because I just went straight KDE because I figured I needed a way to sell that space with GNOME if I wasn't going to use it. So now it's going to cost me a reinstall. And but anyway, I had video problems right off the box. It recognized I have an NVIDIA GeForce Go card in my laptop, and it looked like I was in looked like I was watching a widescreen movie when I booted it up. You know, it came in, loaded up X, and there it was, just real tiny, and it was, you know, perfectly scaled, but it wasn't using, you know, wasn't even a quarter of my monitor size.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of jacked, and so I went through and kind of hammered some things out, and then I went instead of using my GeForce, I went with the VESA, the generic video driver.
Right.
And it worked like a charm. So, you know.
Great.
I gotta just go with that. And I was talking to Zapperlink a couple of days ago, and he just got Red Hat 9 also, and he was in permanent 800 by 600.
Really?
Yeah, he was really unhappy about it. And he has an ATI card. So I had problems with my NVIDIA, and he had problems with his ATI. And what Zapper finally did, he finally switched his monitor type to a generic laptop monitor that was, you know, that was set at 1024.
Uh-huh.
Really didn't allow for 800 by 600 by default. And so that's how he got his to work. So if anyone's having those problems, you might try one of those.
Yeah, you just found the fix. Yeah, shouts to Zapper, by the way. Now, back up just a second. Go back to the Nopix. You tried out Nopix 3.2, and did it recognize your, what was it, your Linksys WPC 11 card?
Yeah, it worked. Loaded up, no problems at all. Actually used Orinoco CS for the driver.
It did?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's step to the Red Hat. Which version did you buy? How much did you pay? And, you don't have to mention where you got it.
Okay, it was $39.99, actually.
Okay.
And I got it at Staples, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's surprising.
Yeah, they came out on a Monday, I think. And, Monday, lunch break, straight to Staples. Hey, you guys have Red Hat 9? And after I explained to them what Red Hat 9 was and where it would probably be located, they didn't have it. So I had to wait until, like, that Wednesday, and then they finally rotated it out and put it on the shelf. So, I don't know, I had a lot of luck with Mandrake a while back, getting it for a penny at Staples. So I guess if I had been a little clear thinking, I might could have scored the other two copies of Red Hat 8 they had.
Oh, that would have been nice. By the way, Bland was the one who busted that penny for Linux at Staples.
And there's no Staples within miles of me.
That sucks. Well, I found one. I found a Red Hat 7.3 box for a penny, and they wouldn't sell it to me, bastards.
Well, if either of you want the Linux 8.2 or the Mandrake 8.2 Power Pack, I will send it to you. I have plenty.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Now, Red Hat, I read, and where was this? I think Extreme Tech. They actually put Red Hat and XP side by side, did a little comparison. And they said, at least for the booting, that XP kicked Red Hat 9's ass. That it was, if I recall correctly, it was about three times as long to boot up to a usable computer for Red Hat 9. Have you noticed, totally crappy boot times?
No, mine's not all that bad. It does take a little longer. Now, I've got a 2.4 gigahertz in my Red Hat box.
Uh-huh.
I have a P3 600 in my XP box, and XP still boots up faster.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That says something right there, no doubt. Now, how do you like it? Has it been stable? Is it fast? Is it responsive? I like KDE myself. I've used it for a number of years, mostly with SUSE. And you say you enjoy it?
Yeah, I like it. It's I don't know, it feels better. I know it's a weird thing to say about a program, but...
No, not at all.
I mean, it feels better than GNOME, and a damn sight better than Blue Curve.
Really? Yeah, I've never used Blur Curve. I've heard it's kind of weird. I've used GNOME, don't like it, right? But the thing is, I like all the apps with GNOME. I like all the things that it does. So I get, you know, and I've used numerous other window managers with GNOME. So right now I'm using IWM. I've used, you know, Window Maker, OpenBox. I've used a lot of different window managers. So I like the GNOME underneath, but I don't like it on my desktop. I don't like it at all. I think it crashes a lot. When I was using GNOME 2 on my Mandrake 9 box, oh, God, it was horrible. It crashed all the time. As soon as I opened Nautilus, dude, it just took a crap. So, wow, anything else to add for your Red Hat 9 review?
Yeah, I've got a couple things. I did have a problem with Wi-Fi, a small one, and I pulled my old Windows tactics out. I ignored it long enough, and it went away. But it tried to mount, at boot up, Red Hat would try to mount my ETH1, which is what I had my wireless card on, and it would, you know, say no mount point defined. It would take a little extra time trying to mount that, try to auto-mount it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a couple of days, when I would get on the wireless, it would just crap out. I mean, it would just quit working. It would, you know, it'd say resolving page name, you know, oldschoolfreak.com, and it would just never come up. And I would have to restart, and it would give me this error writing TX descriptor, and just kind of scrolled a million times, and then it would finally, you know, bring me to the login screen where I could reboot. But it hadn't done it in a while. I don't know, it was just weird.
Really? So really you did nothing, and it now works fine?
Yeah, I just tried unsuccessfully to install apt-rpm several times, and it just went away.
No kidding. Well, hey, that's that's one way to fix it. And anything else?
No, actually. The only thing that I really wanted with KDE, I went book shopping again a couple days ago, and I picked up Practical C++.
Cool.
And got it real cheap. And I wanted to use, I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's Angenta. It's a C++ IDE
mm-hmm.
for GNOME, and I didn't realize it was just for GNOME, and so I tried to find it for K, and it wouldn't work. So that's another reason why I want to go back to GNOME.
Right. Well, you shouldn't have to reinstall. You should be able to install all the, you know, all the, what is it, not Qt, but all the GTK libraries that you need to run GNOME apps. So you shouldn't have to reinstall.
I'll try that first, and yeah. just as a backup, I will mentally prepare myself for a reinstall.
Sure, sure. Well, cool. Now give it pick a scale, you know, and rate Red Hat 9.
Okay, let's see. From 0 to $1.25, I'll give it 75 cents.
75 cents. Here we go. Okay. Forget there's 50. I gotta get. Oh, come on. I gotta chop off the end of that recording. Here's the other quarter. 75 cents, Red Hat 9 by Bland Inquisitor. Thank you very much for that very informative review. I haven't used Red Hat 8. I'm remiss.
I have it sitting in front of me ready to try myself, but now, I don't know. I think I'll give it a shot too, but I'll just, now I know what to prepare for. So I'm glad you were the guinea pig on this one.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you very much. Well, we just heard this sound, and that sound means the freak news. What does it mean?
I think that means we're going to start the freak news.
Oh yeah, freak news, baby! What I live for. We need an all. I'm telling you, one show. All free, an hour of phones. We got to do it because I think the attack of the what episode was that? Not 8. We had an episode, Attack of the Phones, right? Right when that crappy episode 2 came out. I don't think it was an hour though. I think it was short. We need a show that is 1 hour of phones, one freaking hour of nothing but dial tone, baby. That was heaven, pure heaven. Speaking of heaven. Freakazoids issue 1 is out. I've been waiting for this, and it is awesome. Oh man, it is so good. There's really good articles in it. If you don't know what Freakazoids is, it's an e-zine by Icon of Freaks and Geeks. Actually, if you go to the front page of Old School Freak, you'll see a link, and we link to the magazine as well. Great reading. If you have any interest in phones whatsoever, you will be drooling. I poured over it. It was heaven. It was totally heaven. I loved it. So, check out Freakazoids, and I'm not going to spell it for you. Freakazoids from Icon. I've got an email. Last week we talked about, what did we talk about? Well, the telcos and their annoying business practices. Beyond annoying, as you will see from this email from DJ Mollusk. Hey Duel, DJ Mollusk here. I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone with this long-distance carryover bullshit. Again, bullshit. Early last year, I was working as a customer service rep for MCI WorldCom. A lot of customers would call in and talk about how much of a pain it was. It really did screw some customers over so much that they would get their service cut off. I remember one time there was a single mother of a 10-month-old baby who called me. She was really upset that she had a $200 phone bill. I had to explain to her that the reason it was so high is that there was a billing problem and that we were just charging her for long-distance calls that were not on her last month's bill. No shit. Can you imagine? Her service ended up being canceled because she couldn't make the payment. Since she had both long-distance and local service through MCI, she lost both of them.
And that is exactly what you said last week could happen.
Yes, could, and sure as freaking shit, DJ Moss pulls through, thanks for the email, not done by the way, and gives us real life, right here, real life freaking experiences, this poor woman. Oh, well, yeah, we just had a, you know, we had an error, you know, it's your problem, really. You still have to pay us. I'm continuing with his email, I would see so many billing problems on customers' accounts when I was working there. We weren't allowed to bring the errors to the customer's attention. We were only to fix them if the customer noticed. Again, we were only to fix them if the customers noticed. One day I got in trouble with my supervisor because I spent some extra time fixing a problem with a customer's bill, even though the customer didn't notice it. They told me that I could have taken another customer's call during that time. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I was, you know, I feel all warm inside. I was then told that it's not our fault if they don't look at the charges on their bill. I guess a little extra charge here and there, and soon they have a big-ass profit. I quit MCI WorldCom a couple of months before their shit went down, the false profits and stuff. DJ Mollusk, thank you very much, DJ Mollusk. I'm so glad we got this feedback. I am so glad. Real-world shit here. Right? I'm not a nut, okay? Well, maybe I am. But, you know, I'm not some crazy ranting idiot about the telcos, right? I've been screwed over. I bet you've been screwed over. DJ Mollusk, he is being an upstanding hacker, right? He is being an upstanding citizen helping these people.
Yeah,
right?
And you know what? And that person probably doesn't know, or I don't know if he mentioned to him on the phone that he did fix it for them, but on behalf of that person, thank you for doing the right thing, no matter what they tried to brainwash you into saying that they should do and what their policies are. Thank you for being an upstanding citizen, and that's what we need people to do in this world.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But what do we have? We got the telcos. You know what? You don't even have to say slimy telco or telco who is pushing a lot of products, you know, to people who can't afford it. Telcos who aren't informing customers that of the bare bone service they can get to have affordable phone service. No, you don't have to say any of that stuff. All you have to say now is telco. After that email, when I say telco, it means all of those things. It means we don't give a rat's ass about you. We don't give a rat's ass about the quality of your service. We don't give a gosh darn difference. We don't care at all if you talk to a human. Was that good, Stank? I was trying to be...
Very good.
All right, I was trying to be... That's for
have
Stank.
More control than I do.
That was for Stank, everybody, by the way. You know, all of that wrapped into one... T-E-L-C-O. Five-letter word, and that is telco. Thank you, DJ Mollusk. Now, let's talk about some more happy things, and that would be the AT&T payphones that you find at airports. I've seen them at a few airports, right? The whole airport is all AT&T payphones. Even at the LEC, that's the local exchange carrier, you know, incumbent local exchange carrier, is some other company, whether it be Quest, whatever. I've only experienced Quest. The airports are still all AT&T phones. I don't know how or why. I really don't. If anybody knows why that is, let me know. But I'll use Sky Harbor as an example. Go to Sky Harbor, all the payphones are AT&T payphones. Well, guess what? This actually has a benefit. You can go to any of these payphones and get free directory service. And again, I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's true. call up 00 and you can get a phone number anywhere in the U.S. for free. Try doing that from an ILEC payphone out at your convenience store, okay? So check that out if you're ever in an airport. So far, let me think. Denver. Boy, all that I can remember are all AT&T are Denver and Phoenix, Sky Harbor. So those I know for sure, AT&T payphones, and you can get that free directory service. Check that out. Try others. Let me know, please. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about, how should I put this? It's freaking, but it's that, well, I got it. Retail freaking. Oh, yeah. You know we all like retail hacking here at Radio Freak America. Is that not true?
Oh, more than anything.
In fact, I think, I'm very fortunate, I'm very honored, actually, to have two of the best retail hackers in the biz with Bland and Stank. But now we're going to talk some retail freaking. I'm sure everybody's aware of the red phones at Target. No, they're not the bat phone called Commissioner.
The nuclear missile phones?
Yes, exactly. The nuclear missile phones. We can all, as hackers, now use these phones and launch World War III. No, actually, they're mostly princess phones. You'll see them all around Target. And you used to be able to pick them up, hit 9, get an outside line, and make all your local calls free. Well, now it's not that way. They fixed it, basically. I don't know why. It's not like it cost them a lot of money, but they fixed it. You can't just make local calls indiscriminately. But they now have, they have these little employment kiosks, right? Right after you go past the registers, right? You get your toilet paper and your dog food, and you see this, basically like two desks facing each other with chairs, and now they have these nice LCD screens, and it's basically an employment application that you can, use online, basically, and fill out an employment application. Next to them, they have phones, and actually, at this Target I went to, they're actually Velcroed right to the desk. Well, guess what? Those phones in the store are wide open. You can use that 9 to get an outside line. Not only that, but you can get all the free directory service you want. So if you can't remember a number, go down, sit at the desk, get your directory service, 411, get your free number, dial it up, and you got all your calls right there. I learned a few other things just messing around with this phone. They have a PBX. The lines are collect call restricted and long distance restricted. You hit 00, you get an MCI op, and I actually talk the op into, now they won't dial a number for you, I actually talk the op into dialing number and billing it to, this is what I talked to her, billing it to the number I was calling from. Oh no, actually she asked, I don't know why. Oh, because I was calling for a PBX. She asked for the number, so I gave her the number of the store, and I said, bill it to that number, and she tried, and it wouldn't, because it was, again, collect restricted and toll restricted. So, that's what I've learned about Target's phones. Lots of fun. So, you don't even have to buy anything, all right? Just go in there, sit down. You're looking for a job, right? Which is cool. You can work there. That's fun. Sit down and mess with those phones. See what you can do. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I think you will as well.
And if you do work there, give us a call, email us, let us know.
Yeah, fill us in.
Come on,
let's see what they do. Yeah, let's get some info there. So that, actually, kind of short, but that is the Freak News this evening. Oh, before I leave the Freak News, next week, if all goes well, a gentleman and a scholar gave me a book, a big, fat, 1,000-page, a Freak Heaven book, that I am going to review next week. That'll be the Freak News next week. I'll be reviewing this book. And that gentleman, by the way, and scholar, is Bland. Bland sent me this book, and it is awesome. Thank you very much, Bland. I've got one chapter to read, and that's, I've been selective, but the last one I'll read is SS7. So I'll read that chapter, and hopefully next week on the Freak News, we'll get a review of that book. And this review will actually help you. It's a big, fat book, and I'm gonna help you get through, throw out, what is that, the chaff? Is that the country way to put it, right?
What's that?
Never mind. Next week, Freak News, book review. Yeah, it's something to do with wheat and chaff. Anyways. Okay, we're going to segue now from retail freaking to a little retail hacking, one of our favorite subjects. Stank has been doing a little retail hacking. We actually have some pictures. Tell everybody about these pictures.
Regular listeners know that I got a new Motorola camera phone recently, and oh, it's just a godsend for retail hacking. It's such a wonderful, wonderful tool to have, not only for the cell phone capabilities and punching numbers into it and codes when you have to and being inconspicuous, but now you've got a camera, because, you know, when you only get to a kiosk, you want to get to something back in the store, you can't walk in with the video camera, you can't really go in with the digital camera very easily, they'll think you lifted it. So the camera phone is wonderful for stuff like that. So now that I have that, I can go back in and get a little bit more, have a little bit more time to play with things and take some pictures. And I went back to the old good old Kodak picture kiosk where you can take your digital media, your smart cards, your diskettes. They have a scanner if you just want to take photographs and scan them and print them out at there. And I had some time to go back and play with that a little bit. And this is really not complex, but they have this proprietary system that they use on these boxes, and it comes up with a menu that will let you, you know, press this if you want to scan your picture in and print a copy, press this if you want to put in a diskette, press this if you want to yada, 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 yada. Well, there is an option. It's a small button in the corner that will let you get to configuration options. Well, of course, I wanted to, you know, make sure that the configuration was correct.
And Thank you, Stink.
I'm just trying to do my part, help out, make sure everything was on the up and up. So I went to that, and it comes up, and it prompts you for a password. It actually reminded me of like a scene from a movie or a scene from Hackers, where it's like, you know, when anytime a hacker logs into the system, it comes up with this little magical password screen, you know, and it comes up with this little password screen. It's all numeric. It's basically a keypad on the screen, and it is touchscreen. So. Who knows what I caught while I was touching the screen. But anyway, put in the code, the passcode, and, you know, I think everybody on the phone right now knows that the passcode ends up being the store number. So I had just purchased a DVD from the electronics department. They make you purchase that before you leave. They don't want you carrying around a store because they're scared you're going to lift it or something. So I happen to have my receipt handy, so I look up the store number, punch it in, bam, you're right in the configuration option.
Man, that is secure.
Yeah, it brings up a huge menu of every setting that you can imagine. Purely by coincidence, not because they caught me or were watching, but purely by coincidence, the manager was coming out of like the back break room area and passed me and kind of saw and gave me a dirty look, so I didn't get to play with it a lot. However, he passed. I was able to whip out the camera phone and take a couple screen captures.
Yes.
Again, they are from the camera phone. It's not the highest quality in the world. Actually, I don't even know if you can really make out some of the stuff, but gives you at least an idea of what it was doing and some of the options there. I know a couple of them I saw were DNS settings, so I don't even know why they would really need that at the kiosk, which got me wondering if maybe it's part of connected to some sort of network there.
I would think, yeah, just to set up the DNS servers.
But what was odd about it was that, you know, if it was an internal thing, they're not going to open it up to the internet. At least I hope they wouldn't be that dumb. But I was expecting to see, you know, 192, 168, or something, you know. The address that it had in there by default was 176.0.0.1.
Hmm.
And 176.0.0.2, and that's not even a reserved address, so that kind of confused me a little bit.
As the primary and secondary DNS servers?
Yeah.
Huh.
I thought that was a little strange, but again, you know, that's why I was there, to help out and notice these kind of things. So,
Thank you again. Maybe
next time I go back, I'll see if I notice some other things like that, and I might just bring that to their attention.
Can either of you ping those IPs right now?
I'm sorry?
Can either of you see if those IPs exist? I mean,
I have no earthly idea. I did not check that. You know, what I was thinking was, I chalked it up, I think it really is misconfigured, and the DNS doesn't come into play because it's a standalone kiosk. So, yeah, they're probably wrong, but it doesn't matter because they're not connected to anything, so it just goes right on as though nothing was wrong, nothing's happening.
Really? Okay, see, I'm not RAC, so I don't know the reserve space off the top of my head. Those are not...
Oh, it's 192, 168, or 192 is reserved, 255... And that's it, basically.
Okay.
I was poking around in one of those around here, you know, to make sure that the screen was calibrated correctly and, you know, things like that.
Wow, thank you too, Bland.
I'm a good guy that way. And I found myself in all the settings, and they have a broadcast address, and they have, you know, primary and secondary DNS, and they actually have their own IP addresses.
Ooh.
And I was lucky enough, you know, several weeks later to see one of the, you know, there's a guy that comes in and kind of services them. And I asked him, I was like, so do these things have, you know, are they able to connect to the internet, or how does that work? And he said that they are configured, but they're not, none of them are hooked up. You know, there was a grand scheme to where you could, you know, scan your picture in Reno, and your brother-in-law in, you know, Phoenix can print it out. You know, it was the way to do it that way. And he said that it never gelled, so they never did anything. And all I could think of was someone going to, you know, DYNDNS and registering, you know, www.blandskiosk.com or whatever. You know, or even worse, someone set up DDoS, and you know, all 4 million of those kiosks are your, you know, are your zombies.
And just picture also as a mass, if en masse hackers were to go out to every one of these kiosks, and let's say you put Bland's, you know, whatever, BlandWhatever.com, BlandDepository.com, and have the pictures upload to that, so we would have everyone's pictures in the world. It would be all up in everybody's business. More so than we already are.
Yes, yes. Now, and you'll notice when we discuss things like this, we discuss retail phishing, retail hacking, right? Okay, big deal. We got a free local call. Big deal. I got free information. Okay? We're not doing anything bad, right? I didn't sit there all day, right? I don't want to. I don't need to. We're not getting into these machines to crash them, you know, or to use them as DDoS boxes. We're curious. We're learning, right? People probably would have used them as such, right? They probably would have had a mess on their hands if they made those machines. Well, they are internet-enabled, but if they put them on the net. None of this is malicious in the least. It is curiosity. And guess what? And I hate to say this, but everybody, you've got to be careful with that curiosity, because people don't understand technology, and they are afraid of what you know and what you can do, especially if you're not, well, you know, formally trained in it. You haven't been doing it for, you know, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years even, but you can figure things out. You're just curious. You just have a, you know, can I tell you something? You said earlier, Bland, that you like the feel of KDE better, correct?
Right.
Right. Well, guess what? I believe in that. I believe that people have... And maybe this is weird, freaky, nutto dual talking Matrix stuff, but I believe that people can just have a feel for technology. I believe that people can are, how do I say it, naturally adept with technology. And it really scares some people. It really, really does.
And also, just to add a little, you know, we do it because it's interesting, because the curiosity, for the fun. We come on the show and talk about it and laugh about it and say the jokes of what could be done with it.
Yes.
We did or would do or condone doing. It's the fun, and it's fun to laugh and say, wouldn't it be cool if we intercepted it? No way in hell would I ever do that.
Right.
Never, ever, ever. But it's a funny idea.
It is very funny. Personally, I wouldn't, you know, I got better things to do, you know?
Yeah.
Straight up.
I don't, but I still wouldn't do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got something for you to do. This may be a little early, but we could still... it's not technology, but I want to talk about it. Okay, I don't care. I'm going to talk about it. If anybody knows anything about anime, you've heard of Miyazaki, right? Princess Mononoke, and now Spirited Away. Many others. Spirited Away. Won an award, if I'm correct. I don't know what those... What were those awards called? Oscars? Did it win an Oscar?
It won the... I believe it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
The who?
It's the...
Oh, C-A-N-N-E, yeah.
It's the equivalent of Best Picture.
Right, but the entire world instead of just the U.S. Okay, well, great. If anybody who can hear my voice has the ability to go see Spirited Away on the big screen in a movie theater, do it. It is amazing. And don't let... This is why I was worried about talking about this, because, well, I'm going to do it anyways. Don't let that Walt Disney fool you. It's actually original, creative, groundbreaking. That's right. You've never seen anything like this before in your lives. I guarantee it. Sure, there may be some, you know, Japanese, mythical... cliches in there. I don't know. Okay? I'm not an expert on Japanese culture. To our culture, it is totally, utterly original and a beautiful, beautiful animated piece of art. It is gorgeous, and it is fun, and again, it's original, and it'll make you cry. It's great. Go see it if you can. If not, it's coming out. We're recording Monday night. It's coming out tomorrow on video and DVD. For me, it's a purchase. It's one of those movies I will buy.
And I think, Bland, you said it was going to be where?
Yeah, at a Target for $14.99.
Well, oddly enough, you could go to Target and play with a photo kiosk, play with their phones, while you purchase, and this is not materialistic, this is definitely, you're buying a piece of art. Too bad it's going to Walt Disney. And buy your Spirited Away DVD or VHS video cassette. I highly recommend it. I dig anime. I have for a long time. I don't buy like I used to. When VHS around, I used to buy a lot of tapes. And now DVDs are out. I don't buy as much. I'll just rent. There's not a lot out there that's spectacular to me. I don't know if I've advanced, if I've become more sophisticated in my anime tastes. But this is definitely one I will purchase. Definitely. I think my last purchase was, wow, quite a long time ago. Well before the official American release, I bought a Chinese or Taiwanese, I'm not going to say fan sub, Brad bootleg of, what's it called? Oh, Hellhounds, Wolfpack, oh, what's it called? Jinro, and that was good, very good. That was another good purchase. So go see Spirited Away if you can. And go see Cowboy Bebop. I heard that Cowboy Bebop is playing on big screens in certain cities.
Playing big cities, damn it. That's my all-time favorite, and I can't find it anywhere.
Now, that I saw that as a fan sub as well, and that is a phenomenal movie. Highly recommend it. But go, again, I can't stress enough, go see Spirited Away. It's great. It is a piece of art. It's not just a cartoon.
If I went to the computer show, was buying some of those parts recently, and you'll never guess what movie I bought on DVD. It was also Hong Kong. They released the American movies over there fully with English. Normally, all you need is basically a region-free player to be able to play some of them. And I bought a valid copy. You know what's released over there? I don't know if it's completely, if they have the rights to this or what, but you know, I bought one of the greatest movies of all time that's never been released on DVD in the United States. I bought Indiana Jones.
No way.
The original, Raiders of the Lost Ark, baby.
No kid, that is a great movie.
Yeah, and I don't know, the only thing I can think of is that maybe it's a rip of the Laserdisc is the only thing I can come up with if they ported it over to DVD. I don't know if it's an official release or not. So, I'm going to be watching that soon to see what kind of quality it has, so yeah. That ought to be interesting.
I got a lot of those Chinese movies, right, because I dig anime, and the good anime, you know, isn't here yet, so I'd get these Chinese,
Japanese.
I guess they're bootlegs, right, you know, and they're Chinese and English subtitled, they're Japanese and then Chinese and English subtitled, and a lot of times the English is really, it's really bad, and that's understandable. I'm not faulting them for that. But it's kind of humorous. It's kind of fun, you know, to try to make out what they're saying, first of all, and then also to see the humorous ways they put words together in this difficult, difficult language of ours. I can't thank you guys enough for this show. You know, I say it on every show. I cannot thank you enough, and I can't, because it's just, it means so much to me that you take the time. Because really, and tell me, guys, is making a show not a lot of work?
Oh, it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and I'm not looking for sympathy here, right? I'm just saying that, you know, in our everybody's hectic lives, you gotta take time. I'll quote meme again. Take time, you know, if you have the means to subsidize some revolution. Make sure you take time to do some hacking, read some books, right? I know going to the bookstore is like a woman in a shoe store. I hope that's not sexist, but anyways, and share your knowledge. You know, I can't, you know, it's maybe cliche, we may say it too much, but personally I don't think we can say it enough. I think you definitely need to share what you know. It doesn't matter if you don't think you're a good writer. It doesn't matter if you can't spell very well. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have fun hacking and that you share it with everybody. So we can combat all the fear and combat the DMCA. And you can send me stuff for the show, baby, because, man, I was almost short for stuff to talk about this week. Man, holy shit. Thanks again, guys.
Are we over?
Yeah, man, that's it.
Wow, man.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, thanks a lot, Bland.
Oh, no problem.
Means a lot. I hope to get you on soon. Shouts to Zapper. Shouts to everybody in Singapore. This is RFA Late.
Even later.